Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A very warm welcome to you all, my beautiful countrymen and ladies and others. What's the right thing to say there?
She's gays and theys. That's what we say.
He's gays and theys. I have a very special guest joining me today to talk about Seeking Sister Wives, my favorite show. He's coming to us from Reality Gaze, the esteemed podcast, Mr. Jake Anthony.
Hi, everybody. Hi. Is that Kate Winslet's accent from The Regime?
Yes. I call it Elizabeth Taylor meets Drew Barrymore.
It's incredible. I, you know, she literally came up with it for that character. The bitch literally said, I need a completely different accent for this. And it's got to be weird, but it's also got to be like, I treat everyone around me with such contempt. I love it.
And it comes through beautifully.
The critics hate that show. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm just delighted every time it's on screen. I love her. I love how deliciously satirical it is. And
well, you've hit on exactly why the critics hate it. It's because they don't understand satire, number one. And they don't understand political satire even more.
Right.
And one of the few positive things I can say about this country is we love satire and we love political satire even more. And I think we've mastered it. Maybe not as good as the Russians, but
that's just life. That's just life for them. Political satire is daily life. I think you're right. And the show doesn't blink. The show goes to the very edge of satire and doesn't blink to the point where if you go, wait, is this, they just making a really dark show? No, because you've got Andrea Riseborough, who is there to be the only person with some type of creed. And that's the only reason you know it's satire. But otherwise, and also just her cabinet is just a bunch of buffoons. So that's also how you know.
I don't know that she is in the show, but I really want Vicky Pepperdine to show up somewhere.
Martha Plimpton is coming soon as a representative from the U.S.
Oh, I just saw that episode.
Oh yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah, I'm like one episode behind. I've only seen the first one, and I've watched like 3 or 4 minutes of the second episode. But I need to be fully awake and engaged while I watch the show.
You need to be hyper focused.
Yes, and Matthias Schoenaerts needs to be shirtless, and I need to see them make the beast with two backs.
He is so hot.
Did you ever see Far from the Madding Crowd? It's like from that. It's from a Hardy novel. No one saw it. It's Carey Mulligan's in it.
I didn't see that.
No. Yeah, he is so hot in that. It's a great movie. Basically, a woman just has like three lovers. You'd love it.
Okay. That sounds incredible. Well, that's going on the list. So thank you so much again for filling in. Y'all, Robin is going through some tough stuff with his side of the family and with work, and we're just giving him a little space. I did write down the insights that he has instructed me to share. But there's really
wow.
A recap of this show.
He demands his words be heard.
Yes, and I'm delighted to start with the Davis family. Robin wanted to relay the question, why does Nick dress like a Victorian banker?
I think it's because he saw when Desi Arnaz would take care of little Ricky on the I Love Lucy show. And he said, you know, he's just not dressed formally enough to take care of a child. And so I think he's thinking that dads dress like bankers. Like you said, I think my favorite is the amulet over the tie, functioning as a tie clip.
Yeah, that's a choice for sure.
Yeah.
I try to get a handle on, this is where I'm having trouble. And because you've already done a great recap on your own show this week, I want to take the opportunity and the time we have together to kind of focus in on a few points of order, as we as we would say.
So, point of order.
Point of order, my learned friend. Gosh, I'm so mad. I somehow missed Prima Facie on with Jodie Cromer on the National when it was streaming, and I will
everyone,
never forgive myself.
Everyone who saw it on Broadway in New York raved. Yeah,
it was sold. I couldn't get a ticket here. Anyway, so I feel like, first of all, and I know I said this to you earlier in the week, I think they had to do an extra long trailer for next week, and they had to take up a significant portion of the credits, because otherwise people were going to complain to Discovery en masse, is Danielle still alive? Because these two were having a conversation that was very staged to me.
I think it was a reenactment. Yeah.
Well, and even when Carol One came in and was like, "Oh, she sent me a text message."
Yeah.
It just felt, but so
Carol Two was like, "I don't know what we're gonna do without her." In her really husky voice. It did feel She's like they were funny. They were all quaaluded into none of them are good actors. Yeah.
They just remind me, that whole setup looked so much like an episode of Dateline.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they're interviewing.
Yeah.
But they're interviewing them and they're like, and I don't know what happened. Never saw her after that, you know? But what I can't get is what is behind the desperate need to expand? Because I understood it. I kind of understand it in with every other family, like what the core motivation is.
Right.
And with this, it's like I had assumed that Nick had some kind of online presence where he was teaching classes or doing readings or whatever.
Some type of guru, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not what's happening. So what I don't get is why is there a massive rush to enlist more Carols? And why do they want Cousin Oliver back so badly?
It does seem like they have a different opinion of Cousin Oliver than we do. I find her just to be she's just kind of there. She's, you know, she proved herself to be a great, a very funny person on season one with the head nodding. And later on, she kind of took to it. And I feel like she's kind of the one that makes like wisecracks because so I think my thing is that Cousin Oliver is the comedy in the house. And they're worried they're going to lose their comic edge. And
you can't have three Janets, basically.
You can't have three Janets. You need a Suzanne Summers. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or a Don Knotts, maybe.
The day that I discovered
Don Knotts, that's it.
The day that I discovered that Mr. Roper was the same guy as the deputy on, what was the name of that show? Was it just the Andy Williams show? Is that what it was called?
The Andy Griffith Show.
Andy
Griffith Show. This was, remember, I believe that the Ropers somehow got fired from the show, and then Don Knotts came in as Mr. Furley.
That's right. Yes. I'm sorry. It's such a blur to me now.
I have to correct all because all sitcom knowledge is pristine to me in my brain, and it is in amber.
Well, I'm usually very, very good, but I think I've cut out. I think because I was watching probably the most syndicated television from like ages 3 to 6.
Yes.
And then I think when I was 8, we got cable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more that like pre-8-year-old period. But I could tell you the highlight of any cast of The Real World.
Yes.
For many years. I've got pretty useless knowledge when it comes to like reality TV and stuff like that.
I lived in an area where there were so much syndicated sitcoms on the local channels, and we didn't have cable either. And basically, Saturday morning after the cartoons were done at like 11, something happened, and cartoons just like stopped coming on after like 10 a.m. And they just showed syndicated versions of The Andy Griffith Show, Three's Company, The Brady Bunch, that like shows like that, and I watched them because what else did I have to do? I had no friends. God,
do you know I remember The Brady Bunch so well, and it was my secret weapon when we had to do like, I'm sure you didn't have to do this because you actually grew up in a place that has nature.
Yeah,
but we had to do outdoor ed when I was in middle school, and I was like, obviously could not talk to anybody and was a huge nerd and just
outdoor, you know, in hindsight, ed. Like they talked to you about the outdoors.
No, you basically go to camp for 3 days.
Sounds like a nightmare.
But, with your, yeah, it was a nightmare. And the only thing that got me out of it was I remembered, like, we had to do a song and choreograph a dance. And I realized that there was nobody else who was like 12 that watched the Brady Bunch right. every day. So we did a choreographed dance number of I think I'll go for a walk outside mm-hmm. now the summer sun's calling my name.
Yes.
I hear you now. I just yes. So that's
that was your job at Outdoor Ed.
That was my job at Outdoor Ed. Huge, huge surprise.
The most indoor possible job. The most
indoor kid response. Now we don't have a lot from the, is it the Salahuddins? I always get it
the
wrong.
The Salahuddins.
Salahuddins, yes. I'm sorry. That's what, so Naila and Naeem. Robin also wanted it noted that the name of this show should be changed to Get a Dog, Get a Cat. In honor of this wonderful mother-in-law.
Whoa, put her on the next Netflix is a joke comedy tour. She's got right? zingers for everybody. She just reads the audience.
I thought it was incredible that they so clearly brought her around. And I wonder if it was a case of the producers were like, okay, do you have like what are your parents gonna think of this? And they probably said, you know, mom keeps herself to herself and she doesn't really like get in. She wouldn't want to like get involved in this discussion really. And so they've brought over this like abandoned Middle Europe circus bear who they want to attack. Right. Yes. And so they keep throwing sticks at her. And I'm not saying she's an animal. No. Right. But just like, They're trying
to
incite.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're trying to incite some kind of performance from this woman, and she's not taking the bait. And I love it.
She's not giving anything to them and giving everything to us.
And we deserve it.
Yes.
Because this is a man, like I've said before, he's a human dial tone. He is frequently upstaged by the wallpaper in any rest home of your choice that you want to reference.
Michelle, he just needs someone to hype him up. He just needs a transfusion of energy from whatever woman he's with, and then he can become great. Stop propping up these fucking useless men. Jesus Christ.
I know. And I hate his weird, like, he looks like a puppet with these big cartoon muscly arms that are obviously compensating for something.
Yeah, it is Popeye-esque.
And I'll give you three guesses.
it's like Clay and AD. It's this idea of a man, of having to prop up a man bound for greatness. It's all aspirational. There's, you know what? You're going to be waiting another, and they've been married for 15 fucking years. It ain't going to happen, honey. If it hasn't happened yet, it ain't going to happen.
No, it really isn't. And it's not a matter of, if you really want him to change and if you really want to like get him to do something, leave his ass.
Yep.
Go. You know, cut the apron strings, take away the little toddler leash and just forget about him. Forget about
him.
I also really don't like the way he talks to his mother.
No, he is, the mom's been that way for a long time. Even though my mother is what I would call challenging at times, I never talk to her like that. No.
No, nor do I talk to my mother like
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely not. It's a respect thing. Yeah. And my mother would just go, if I talked to my mother like Naeem did, my mother would go, "You'll pay for that." And I would later.
My mother would go, All right. I guess I'm a terrible mother.
Yep.
I mean, you don't care what I think. That's fine. I'll just find somewhere else to go.
Sit here in the dark and eat wet cigarette butts.
Yep. That would be the end of the conversation.
Do you think how well is this going to go when it's all fine to talk about it in theory, but y'all, Naila is not someone who's, I think, is going to be cool with him dating other women. I think it's going to get really real when he's in the room with another woman and she's like, oh fuck, what have I done?
Especially, I think she's gone about this in a way that gives her the illusion of control.
Yes.
Where she thinks like, okay, I've met Keisha and I've told her what the rules are going to be.
I've procured her for him. Yeah. Which is one of the grossest thing about this show when they do that.
Oh, God. And that presents a very nice segue into Shane and Ashley.
Wait, now, who are my favorite couple this season? For all the wrong reasons.
I don't know if you agree with me on this, because I don't think we've broached this topic specifically. But the energy that I get from both of them is that we've at least got a minor, I think probably a minor for him and a major for her in theater.
100%. These are, someone's talked about this. This is definitely a COVID relationship that happened really quickly because they had nothing else to do. And
yeah, I can see that.
When you, and y'all, when two theater kids don't have anything else to do, he wanted to do theater, but he was so bad at improv. He would just like, they would just be playing like zip, zap, zop. And he would go, oh, do it again. Sorry, zap. He would just say zap every time. He could never come up with an original sound to make with a gesture. So he would always do a chicken. Yeah.
Totally. You know what led me to that? I mean, for her, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Like, we can, I said to our audience last week, we can smell our own. I know a theater.
She is stuck in college, y'all. That's why she is having her first bisexuality phase, that normally she would have had with that girl in anthropology with a nose ring. And then they would have just kissed and that would have been it. But now she in too deep.
Yeah. I think at many points she sort of looked at him and gone, I really shouldn't have got in touch with him, back in touch with him. 'Cause he loves her.
I know. It's actually sickening.
because it's really, this is codependence.
Unhealthy.
Par excellence.
Yeah.
It's so unhealthy.
I just want her to be healthy.
He's got these weird, like, kitten hands that he's always doing. Like, he's constantly gripping his hands going on top and then, like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just little like kitten hands, like he's batting at yarn.
Yeah, he's on the very edge in the moment. You can see him. He looks miserable. Like his whole storyline that he had written, because y'all, he's a competitive axe thrower. Don't forget that. They both are. And that's how they met.
Oh, yeah. I promise you he was a hit on Tinder.
Totally.
And he is a great first date.
Oh yeah. He gives great first date. He gives great first date. The second date, you're like, oh, that's all there is. Oh.
And at that point he's saying, so can we like do you want to like be committed or like which way do you want this to go?
Yeah.
And he makes you think that it's your choice, but if he doesn't get chosen, it's going to go very, it's going to go sideways like it did on this date. Mm. Now I watched this scene a couple of times and I was able to, pinpoint a few kind of like flashpoints.
Yes.
The first of which is that Grace's natural eyebrow is about half an inch below she stamps them on.
This has been thoroughly litigated on our podcast. This show really could be called like wacky brows. I call these pudding brows, where it looks like someone has just stuck their hand in Jell-O pudding and smeared it. Maddie refers to them as turd brows, where it looks like someone has just taken a turd. Yeah. These brows are abhorrent. Yeah.
She shouldn't, whatever technique that she's using, it's not working. It's not the right color for her.
No.
At all, in the slightest. And y'all, if you grew up in the 90s and as a result you've lost most of your natural brow hair, I totally sympathize with that. Whatever's going on with this woman, drawing on your eyebrows an inch higher than they're supposed to be is for drag only, okay?
Hashtag for drag queens only.
Yeah.
Stop doing it.
You don't need to be doing that.
I agree. This is, I want to skywrite this. And stop, and stop watching drag queen videos and thinking you're going to get your makeup from there. Stop, as Maddie says, stop contouring, ladies.
No, contour. I mean, the only time I contour my face is if I'm trying to, like, when I dressed up as Rob Ein Brown for Halloween.
Yeah, that belongs for Halloween.
The shape of my, yeah, no, you can't be doing that in day-to-day life. Another flashpoint, we've got Shane on the couch with his kitten mittens going through all the red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Grace didn't want to meet him. She's a life coach. Let me tell you a little secret, Shane. You are never going to find someone who's interested in this lifestyle that isn't in the personal development
that
space.
Is so true. You need someone who's already on the fringes for what they do. Like Universal Ed's with, like, I work with corporate people and very spiritual. Like, yes, it was all bullshit, but everyone you're going to find who wants to be in this small subset of people who want to live this way is going to be this out there. Agree.
You get a pamphlet. I mean, I did a course in coaching and they literally give you a pamphlet that says, are you interested in ethical non-monogamy?
Yeah, and you check the box. You check the box. Yeah.
And it just, so he's really got to, he does have to get out of that headspace. Now, was Grace insufferable, combative, and unnecessarily hubristic? Absolutely.
Check,
an asshole too.
He was trying to treat this as a date. Like, you know what it felt like? It felt like one of those speed dating things where he was trying to come up with material and bebopping and scatting. And he was just like, he's like, so where's your first kiss? Like, that was the first question. And like, he said, I'm going to really disarm her. I'm going to be like different than all the other guys she's met. And she's like, my first kiss was with a woman. He's like, oh, didn't expect that.
What's your prognosis for this couple?
First of all, Do I believe that that Ashley is anywhere past the experimental phase with bisexuality? Absolutely not. I don't think she has given it a lot of thought. I think she is in a fight or flight mentality because she realizes she married such a, I don't know. I would call this guy a nerd without a hobby. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He could be a great Star Wars nerd if he had the drive. There seems to be, he is a nerd without a calling. A man without a role-playing game.
I'll tell you what, though. If both of those children weren't conceived during the local Ren Fair, I don't know what to tell you. Because I promise you they were.
Yes, I agree. I think now she has realized I am stuck with two children. And I'm saying that specifically. She feels fucking stuck. And this is a way, she has proposed this to shake things up and find some kind of way of distancing herself from this, I don't know, this pile of misshapen objects that she sees before her. And
I also, sorry, go
ahead. No, I just,
going.
That's it. Go ahead.
I feel for her too, because I know exactly what stage she's at in her parenthood journey. Yeah. And that is understanding, like, I think, and anyone who, I don't want to exclude fathers from this or other parents, but it's for me, especially as a stepmom, there's a point where you realize that you are never going to be like the queen of the PTA. and if you're not, and you don't, and you can't find a kind of like, you can't really connect with the reject moms, like you can't connect with the fun wine moms and stuff like that, you're not going to have fun. And you're going to feel sidelined because of your child. And that's going to breed a lot of resentment.
Boy, you can see that. That's a bleak future, and I can totally see it for her.
Yeah, but it's, and I'm sure this will resonate with a lot of our listeners if they're anything like me, because there is a point where I realized, and I did try to get involved, but there was a point where I was like, all of these kids have been together since nursery school. Mm-hmm. It's a small elementary school. There is absolutely no way I'm cracking into this. The only way that I could crack into it is by making friends with one of the single dads, and then I'm out forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for you.
No. Been down that road before I was married. It did. I was a nanny. Which is the stage before being the hot girlfriend.
They're like, don't leave her alone with any of the fathers. Don't leave him alone with her.
This is so horrible. This guy, I can tell this, well, yeah, fine. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, I was a nanny for a long time. And there was a single dad. And I had to go do the school pickup, and it was a similar situation. It was like a really elite private school, and like a bunch of celebrities went there, and like British people are just not open to receive. Okay. They're just not, they don't want to make new friends. But there was a guy who was a camera operator, and he worked in television, and he had done so, like, we had that in common, and we had an easy rapport. And then I just decided, and I'm not proud of this, that I was just going to test the waters and see how easy it would be to to throw something out there and see if he would swim to it. And literally the day that I texted him saying something dumb, like, I think I said, are you alone?
Oh,
and Such an asshole.
It took no time. And then as soon as he said, "Are you alone?" and he sent you a dick pic. Or something like that. That's the gay equivalent. Sorry. That's where we go.
His response was, "I can be. Let me go to the basement. Give me 2 minutes."
Whoa. Y'all, that's how easy it is. That's how easy it is.
It really is. When you have even a measure of confidence and curiosity, I'm telling you, men are this stupid. And here's the thing, I didn't need to ever
act on it,
send him any nudes, anything like that. I strung him along just by flattering him. Yep. That was it. And not even like flattery that was specific to him. I just would be like, I guess you're really good friends with this dad there that was a well-known actor. And he was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, we're mates. We hang out." But then it went too far because he called me one night and he said, and prepare for like your soul to leave your body. He said, "Come to Fabric with me," which is this really like, I mean, it used to be happening 15 years ago, club in East London.
Fabric.
And God. Yeah. He was like, "Come to Fabric with me. I've got plenty of disco dust."
I'm there.
But wow. He said disco dust.
He is way too old to be saying that. And that is an old person's name for cocaine, y'all. Don't use terms like that for cocaine.
don't say disco dust. Don't say party favors.
No.
Don't say don't.
I think what kids do now is they just use the snowflake.
As they should. And then time went by. I obviously didn't take him up on his invitation. And then the next time I saw him, he was like, "Oh yeah, me and Amy built a chicken coop in the backyard, and now the kids are blah 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 blah." And I'm like, "I'm not interested."
Yeah.
Go away.
It's so easy, straight men. Just no, because I'm sure you have tons of straight men listeners like we do.
It's huge.
So easy to ensnare you. Actually, gay men are too. It's sometimes it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Sometimes I'm like, I want a challenge. I don't know.
Anyway, I dodged a bullet on that one clearly, but I also had it was a wonderful time in my life because not only did I have that, but I had a gay manny friend.
Ooh,
with
you got all the good stories. Family
that, yes. Yeah. So obviously he was enabling me through all of that, and we would hang out at his boss's house, and every Friday we would have ourselves a little happy hour.
Yeah.
And it was bliss. It was so fun. Anyway.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know who doesn't have a fun happy hour, and I've saved the best for last year, is the Merrifield.
Sperm in the brains. That's what they call me in college.
Tell me if you think this is, this instinct is a, you know, close to a bullseye here. I feel like this entire family got Groupon Invisalign. Like Garrick, Danielle, Sam, and Samantha all got the same Groupon dental package.
It does feel like they just had their teeth just like plugged in like Legos.
Yeah.
They all look very similar. Yeah. Everyone got at least teeth whitening or Invisalign for this.
If
yeah.
not both.
Yeah.
It's a real shame though, because I think, I mean, Danielle's, sorry, y'all, her boob job is a Groupon boob job. If I've ever seen one, it's not good. It doesn't suit her body. It's gonna, if you see her in a bathing suit, it's gonna be puckered on the side.
Oh no, the puckering.
Her nips are gonna be at 10 and 2. It's not gonna be a good situation.
No, what's gonna be, it's like they hate each other. The nipples are just like, it's like a magnet, just repelling one another.
Do you think she and Garrick share tank tops?
Y'all, I'm so happy to see the black tank back. That sexy Gap for ladies black tank. And the cowboy hat. I threw up in my mouth a little bit when I saw the cowboy hat again.
Oh God, that cowboy hat.
He really, this is one for the gays and the ladies who watch gay porn. Garrick is straight out of a genre of gay porn that I would call, you could probably see him in Mormon Boys or Missionary Boys.
Yep. Yep. I totally see that.
Or, even though I've been told he's not Mormon, they're just evangelicals, which is quite disappointing.
They're not even ex-Mormon?
No, they're just evangelical. I know. I was appalled.
Didn't they meet though when he was her, wasn't he her counselor at like
some
vacation
shit like
Bible
that. It was totally grooming. But I could also see Garrick it's his innocent expression. I could see him in a site called Amateur College Men. even though he, I don't know if he went to college. I was actually, they spent the money on the, whatever money they had left over on the Invisaligns after they got their really terrible logo for Merrifield Construction, which is confusing and all bells and whistles for nothing. You can't even understand it. It's that M with a bunch of squiggly hieroglyphic lines around it.
I just think it's only a matter of time before they get nicked for tax evasion.
This is going to happen. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, there's no way that there isn't a massive amount of cash stored on that premises. I promise you that company's books are cooked. I was thinking about looking it up, actually.
This is what you're doing.
I want them to get audited.
I really think there's something about, there's a certain portion of evangelical Christianity that comes from the prosperity gospels too, where it's ethical, it's somehow Christian ethics to make as much money as you can, but you don't have to involve the government.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Because that's Caesar. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and what is to God's is to God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're not supposed to touch the tax collectors, right? They're unclean.
Right, right.
That's why they gave that job to the Jews. I mean.
Give it to the Jews.
I was going to say the other part of that Venn diagram, like people who only use cash, people who work in construction,
yeah.
Maybe it's bigger than a Venn diagram, people who like evangelical Christians and people who are like evangelistic about CrossFit.
Yes, it is. And people who do a lot of like whey protein. Yeah. Like, you know, there are,
God, the farts.
There are jugs upon jugs upon jugs of whey protein in their basement. Like some like Max Cut.
And it's all birthday cake flavor.
Why do they do that? No one wants birthday cake flavored anything. That is an assault to cake.
It's always wrong, and that's Garrick's favorite.
And they, it's so clear. Gross. It's so clear. But y'all,
but I love that the testimony that he received happened upon his Bowflex in the garage,
which he bought. He didn't buy during the infomercial. He bought it from a neighbor for $140.
Not even. They bought it at Costco.
You're right.
They get everything at Costco.
I
know exactly.
We said that when the Spirit of God came in, he was reading Brazilian Jugs magazine. and all of a sudden the Weed Eater came on. The birthday cake whey protein spouted out and shot everywhere.
Ugh. And you know his jizz tastes like, because of all the whey protein, jizz tastes like kind of sand. And
yeah,
he tried pea protein for a while, but the farts were so bad. Danielle was like, I'd rather have rotten egg farts than pea protein farts. That's really like, that's what he is. And this could be because I've been watching too much Law and Order Special Victims Unit recently, but I'm just going to say it, trigger warning for child grooming and sex abuse. I truly, Grace Brown, believe that these potential wives are going to get younger until 100%. They adopt a 16-year-old that he impregnates instantly.
It's so gross.
And then Danielle will be really upset.
Yeah.
Because like it's a 16-year-old that's pregnant. And he'll just be like, he'll do his little caroler face and he'll be like, but
God, we can't.
God told us to.
Can't tell God no. Yeah.
He has a serious bobblehead. I think he has whatever illness Nickel has, where like his head is just too heavy for his body. And so it's always swinging around.
He really is. I don't think there's anyone in the reality TV world like Garrick Merrifield. Like, and that's not to say he's special. He's just a specific combination of all the things that are predatory, but in a non-predatory label, in a package that's not predatory.
And that's the problem.
He's a buffoon. Yeah. That's the problem.
And he's also somebody who, like, he is a puppet in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that got discarded because
it didn't test well.
It didn't test well.
He goes, oh, hi, Mr. Rogers. You seeing any really good, pretty younger ladies? Yeah, we're not going to use this one.
I just think about that guy.
Bring in Lady Elaine Fairchild. That won't scare kids.
Do you remember when I think it was it must have been the first season of Before the 90, there was a guy who had a Haitian girlfriend.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you and Maddie said that he looked like King Friday with facial wasting.
Yes. Oh, that guy was one of the, that guy is one of the creepiest motherfuckers ever. Chris, were their names? Fuck, I can't remember it now, but
I don't remember now either.
She was selling panties, in Haiti.
Yes. And she had, and the best part was she had this malevolent sugar daddy.
Yes, Chris.
Who was even grosser than Chris was. And that's where I feel like it's just, for me, it's just very clear that they can't do this without trafficking someone.
Yeah.
They can't do it without someone being in their debt. And they fall for fucking everything. Yeah.
That's the poetic justice of it all. Because y'all, when Roberta 2, the new batch, gets here, it's gonna get ugly. And I can't wait.
Yeah, because she gives far fewer fucks than Roberta ever did about charming Danielle, because she knows it's a waste of time. She knows it's easier to turn Garrick.
Yep. Yep.
And look, I don't want to talk shit on Garamiah and Solomon, but at the age they are, as long as they see a bouncing pair of tits, they're not going to.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. Yeah.
That's the real objection that I have to it, though, is like bringing your kids into kind of forcibly. It's really awful.
I really think Danielle is staying mostly for her children.
Because he would. The thing about Garrick, y'all, he's vindictive.
Yeah, totally.
He has that in him. Now, he's too much of a pussy to, it's not like he would ever go after Roberta or anything like that, because that would take courage and he would have to admit that he was made to look like an asshole. But against his wife, I mean, they're divorced already.
They're divorced.
If you don't think he would take those kids out of spite, you got another think come in.
100%. It's like what we say. It's funny until you think about it, and then it's sad.
Yep.
So just stay in that funny place, y'all.
This is still my favorite show on television.
Oh, it's the best cringe ever.
These are still my favorite people, and I love that every time she talks, he looks at the producer like, did you just see that talking dog?
It is remarkable. It's almost like she says something and Garrick looks at the producer like, are we going to use it when she talks? Like, is she allowed to, is that okay? Everything is just, he just has this kind of like, every time he looks, he's got a wide eye. And it's kind of like the face that the Nazis have when they open the Ark of the Covenant. Like every single time, it's like, oh my God.
Do you think there's a possibility that we have it all wrong and that that Danielle is Lady Macbething this, and that they actually
I've considered that.
I mean, they run a building company, is all I'm saying. And they could easily bury a body. I'm just saying, nobody can bury a body or hide a body easier than them.
Than being a construction company. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is a viable theory. I think that she is extremely naive. And unless she's a really, really good actress. I think we've met her parents. And so a lot of it makes sense that they're just like salt of the earth, don't you knows, you know.
Yep.
And even the parents are like, well, I can't wait to meet Roberta. I guess this is weird, but I guess I'll make this pillow with Roberta's face on it for her.
The dad did that.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
This family could have easily been abducted in plain sight. That they could have easily, like, Danielle's father would have totally given relief to that other man.
I think Roberta gave a lot of relief to Danielle's dad. I think Roberta had them all.
Yeah. She was the master. Now she's riding around Rio with her mom in a convertible. That $10,000
is burning
a hole in her pocket. Y'all, don't ever forget about Abducted in Plain Sight. Don't ever forget about that documentary.
Please. And if you feel you can, watch the show because it's fantastic. And also, I know this is disgusting, but I was kind of into it when Colin Hanks gave Jake Lacey a hand job.
Wait, Jake Lacey plays the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to watch that immediately. I have never watched the series because I've always been like, that's too fucking twisted. But now...
No, you have to. It's so good. It's Anna Paquin plays her mom and Colin Hanks plays her dad and Jake Lacey plays the guy. And people are going to be really mad at me for saying this. I'm really sorry. I'm attracted to a certain kind of...
Predator. Yeah, it was okay.
Predator on television. Yeah. No, it's... You know, obviously use discretion. If you had a childhood trauma of any kind, I guarantee you.
Don't watch it.
It'll come up. But if you focus on the fact that Jake Lacey's flirting with a man and there's little handy stuff happening, you can enjoy, you can disassociate.
Bros being bros. Bros being bros. Sometimes, you know, you got to have relief. I'm serious, y'all. I probably think about that documentary once a week. We all watched it with our jaws on the floor.
You really think it can't happen. Yeah. And now I'm like, there can't be a single, ultra religious household where this hasn't happened.
I know!
A million times.
This type of religion is a fucking cancer. God damn it. What a great way to end.
It really is. Powerful message, everyone. Spread awareness. Let's get these creeps off the streets and behind bars where they belong. One more gift that you gave me, Jake, before we go. That I think our listeners will appreciate is Jake pointed out to me that Ice-T on Law and Order SVU or Detective Tutuola, if you want to be, you know, completely
Finn
correct
Tutuola.
About it.
Yes.
Finn Tutuola.
Oda Finn Tutuola, actually his full name. Oda Finn Tutuola.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. He is given the onerous burden season after season of asking the audience's most stupid questions.
Yes. What are these bracelets for?
And then poor Ms. B.D. Wong has to step down and condescend.
Ms. B.D. Wong, M-I-Z, thank you.
Yes, Ms. B.D. Wong has to say they can share mitochondrial DNA and not know that they are related or something like that.
Brother and sister having sex? That's weird. No, y'all, once you notice it, and like he is the voice of every single audience member who knows nothing. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You will watch every episode where Ice-T will have to ask that question and someone on the staff will answer it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. And you sometimes, go ahead.
But they talk to him without exception.
Like a toddler.
Yes. But they treat him like an equal in every other respect. Yes. And, you know, they'll sort of like buy into what he's talking about. But the minute he asks a question, and it's always, and
he's a tough cop for narcotics.
Right?
Yeah.
I know there are Casey Novak apologists out there.
I'm not one of them.
And I just want to say, you are incorrect.
I'm not one of them.
Because she is the She's the worst at that game because her response to any question he has is always, and how am I supposed to make an imaginary needle appear out of a real life haystack?
Yeah, her energy, she got better. They gave her a couple of redemptory episodes, but in the beginning, she was so smug. And I think her tenure was only like a season and a half, maybe, or maybe two seasons.
No, it was longer than that.
Really?
And I am convinced, because in the beginning she had short red hair, and I am convinced that they dyed her hair blonde so that to build trust with the audience.
Yeah. So they'll if you because squint, people thought she was Stephanie March.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
The best ADA of all time.
Don't you come at me with your Barba nonsense. Don't you come at me with your, I love him too. I love Raul Esparza too. Come on. The DA has to be a woman. That's just a role.
We're talking about who is doing the job, not who makes you laugh, not who you think about rubbing your feet. Yeah. He's, by the way, that man is filthy.
Oh, totally. 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 It's disgusting. And I love it that way. But the SVU DA has to be a woman because she has to be able to nail the rapists and things like that. And she has to identify with the victims. It's just that way. That I'm not going to be happy until there's another female DA. That's just it.
Do you know who the worst DA of all, though, in real life and on the show? Fred Thompson.
Oh, well.
Fred Thompson, y'all.
I think this is going to be a win for our office. Better let a lot of them out of Dale.
He's a very thick.
I say Foghorn Leghorn.
He really is. Yeah. And I don't know if he's still alive. Fuck him if he is. I'm sure he's, anyway, he was a huge donor to the Republican party. So I hate him.
I do have a soft spot for Carice. And I always will, but I don't think he's long for that show. He's too much of a theater actor, that guy is. I just, he's trying to see the depth in everything, and that show is all about black and white.
I agree with you, and I like him too, but I'm also ultra aware. He's gonna talk you right on the verge of getting into bed with you and then tell you he's not gay. That's who he is.
That's true. That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you're a woman, he'll be like, oh, I've got a girlfriend.
Oh, he would. You're right.
If your male acting teacher was a rapist on Law and Order, you might be confused. Thank you so much,
Jake. Of course.
Thank you.
I love the Law and Order
depression
at the end. Y'all, I will say, my therapist and I have we talk about numbing all the time. There's no better numbing than Law and Order SVU because something always happens. So when you need to numb.
When you need to numb and when you need things to just work out exactly the way they're supposed to, drink it in.
Yeah.
Drink it in, my friends.
All right. Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Thank you. Tell them where to find you as if they don't already know.
Everywhere you have podcasts that come to you. We're Reality Gaze, and you can find us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast. We're going on tour, y'all, going on tour in April, May, and some of June. First date is Boston, April 3rd, and then New York City, April 5th. So we're getting those shows ready. I'm already planning musical numbers. So it's.
Have you ordered your costumes?
I just did yesterday. I'm going to tease this just because Maddie will yell at me, but I don't fucking care. One of them is a dress that has the New England Patriots logo on it. That's basically the whole dress.
Will Aunt Samantha be making a return?
I have a feeling. You may see her in D.C. You may see Aunt Samantha in D.C. Uncle Sam's counterpart. I for some reason I keep saying I'm not going to put the costume in my suitcase, but it just keeps showing up every year there.
It just shows up. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
I can't promise my junk won't be on display this year because that stage was way too low last time. And yeah, for the people in the front row, I'm sorry. That was, I had to turn my costume around because the front was way too exposed. I just did not expect the people to be right in front, right below me. Woo! All right. And with that, yeah, come see us on tour.
Right.
We are on TikTok. We're banned right now for some reason. So we're trying to get
out
of
it. You know what? TikTok's about to be banned.
It's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Serves them right.
It's fine.
Serves them right.
Right? What we need right now is some darkness for democracy to die in.
Exactly.
And there we go.
Bring on the darkness. Thank you, Michelle.
All right, y'all. Take care out there. Thanks again to our special guests. And God bless you. And God bless our love.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.